It's a rather simple yet hard to understand pasuk in this week's parasha. Vayancha ve'arivecha ve'chilcha samana shel edat ve'inav secha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he afflicted you, he starved you, he fed you to man, that's what you didn't know, but they didn't have a secha, your forefathers didn't know. Lamano diacha, in order to inform you, kilo alechem levado yichyadam, kilo kol motza pi Hashem yichyadam, man does not live, you know, by bread alone, but rather by what comes out of the mouth of Hashem, you know, man lives. You know, the man, you know, when it was introduced to us back in Sefer Shmos, says that everyone got exactly as much as they need. So why were they hungry? Right? In what way is the man unknown? They were eating it that same day and for the last 40 years. Right? So why were they hungry? And what's the affliction? You know, it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. So the, and then, of course, you have to understand that the lesson is that man doesn't live by bread, but what comes out of Hashem's mouth. So now there are some mafarshim that try to make order in the pasuk like this. Right, comma, Hashem afflicted you and you were hungry. That's talking about, you know, as they were just eating the leftover matzah that they took out of Mitzrayim. And this was until the man fell. And then, the man that you didn't know prior to when it first started falling, and certainly your forefathers didn't know it. And then, and then you see that by Hashem's word, man lives and not by bread, because the man wasn't regular bread. Hashem gave the command, let there be man, and survived. And that's how some Mefarshim learn, al derech hapshat, but that doesn't square with a pasuk just a few psukim later. Hashem fed you man in the midbar. You did not know, your forefathers didn't know. Leman anoscha, in order to afflict you. Leman nosecha, in order to raise you up. Leitivcha bachrisecha. But leman anoscha. You know, you were fed the man to be afflicted. So the Gemara in Yuma, the Ayin Daled Amud Beis, you know, addresses the issue and says something very interesting. Two lessons, which need to be unpacked, each one. So Leman Anoscha, right, you're afflicted. Eino Doma Misha Yeshlo Pas Besalo, Lemisha Eino Pas Besalo, right? You know what the affliction was? You know, if the man couldn't be stored. It melted as soon as it got hot outside, it melted away. So they didn't have pas besalo, so you're worried about tomorrow. Right? A person doesn't have bread in his basket, as it were, bread in the pantry and saving. You know, so that person has security. And Misha Elo pas besalo is in a state of a little bit of, you know, agitation because he doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. That's what the Gemara says. So Eno Dom Mishlo Pas Besalo, Mishlo Pas Besalo, because the mun wasn't Pas Besalo, melted as soon as it got warm outside. Chamash Shemesh Venomas. But the question is like this: it had a 40-year track record, right? It's like money in the bank. After the first week, you should be assured that it's falling the next day. It's got a track record. Why are they freaking out that they couldn't store the mun away? That needs to be understood. Then, you know, seemingly the Gemara is referring to Vayari Vecha. You're hungry, and the Gemara says something very interesting, right? That you have to see what you're eating in order to be satisfied. And for there, Rav Yosef, who himself was blind, said, Mikan Remes, I mean, he knew it from experience, he said, but now I've backed it from a pasuk, that a blind man is not fully full. Right? When he eats, you know, he's not fully satisfied, can't see the food. Now, what was invisible about the man, so Rashi explains, you know, it tasted like whatever you thought, right? But it didn't look like whatever you thought. So there was a disparity, between what it tasted like and what it looked like. So it's like you're eating invisible food because it didn't look like what it tastes like. And they were, still hungry. Why should that be the case? Why is it that, you eat with your, tongue, your stomach, and that should be all you need? Why do you have to see what you eat in order to be satisfied? And this is what's being said over here in the pasuk. So now, going back to lo yadata v'lo yadun abosecha, the month that you did not know. Right? It's really, it's talking about even after 40 years. The month should have been very familiar with the month. So now, when Am Yisrael first saw the man, so they called it manhu ki lo yadu mahu, right? You know, man, as you know, as it's a kind of Aramaic, you know, for what? And the name stuck, right? You know, the Torah endorsed that name, and the Torah always referred to it as man, right? V'man ki zera God, right? So Am Yisrael, they were confused, they didn't know what to make of it, and they called it man ki lo yadu mahu, and the Torah endorsed that name. So it's a misnomer. They called it that because they didn't realize what it was at the time. Right? And the Torah goes with that name. So we have to unpack that name, Mon. Huh? Everyone knows the famous Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayikra. It's something that they teach the kids in school. Emes, right? The word Emes, Aleph Mem Tov, right? Rosh Toch Sof, right? The first letter of the Aleph Beis, the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and the final letter of the Aleph Beis. What does that piece of poetry mean? Emes, you know, it's Rosh Toch Sof. So my Rebbe, Moshe Shapira, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, explained to us, right, that, you know, Emes means perception of reality. Now, Emes doesn't just mean truth. That cheapens the meaning of, yes, when we say Vashem Elokim Emes, it doesn't mean, you know, that, you know, Hashem doesn't lie. You know, he is reality itself. And without getting too bogged down on this, right, when, you know, our perception of reality, you know, they say this is real, this is not a theory, is that you could see it from beginning to end. You see the whole picture. So you see this is what it is. You see the whole thing from beginning to middle to end. That's emes. So with that definition, right, do you see everything? So what's emunah? Emunah. So my Rebbe explained to us. So aleph, the beginning, right? Our emunah is predicated on a Mesorah that we have from our forefathers, going back, Mamad Har Sinai. So, you know, emunah should be based on something, on a previous track record, hence the aleph of the word emunah, right? Of course, the root of the word is amen, which is when we look, when we answer amen, you're affirming, you know, your faith that it's true. So it stops at mem nun. Mem nun are the middle oasis of the aleph beis, they're right next to each other. Because emunah, you know, it's your emunah should be based on something, whether it's a tradition from your forefathers or things that you've seen in your own life that remind you that there's echad, Hashem echad, right? There is the first cause, Hashem, right? But then it stops at the present. You don't know how to, you don't see where things are going. You don't see past mem nun, the middle, which represents the present. You don't see forward. All right, so now we go based on our track record, our faith, our Mesorah of our forefathers, and that's how we proceed. And that's what the Pasuk says, Lagi baboker chastecha, ve'emunoscha balelos, right? Emuna by night. At night, you know, you go into your house and it's totally dark and you know, you can't turn the lights on. How will you navigate? So you remember, you have a track record that, you know, the stairs should be like 10 paces that way and 5 paces that way. And that's how you navigate in the dark. You don't see ahead, right? You're stuck in the prayer. You don't see in front of you, right? But you navigate based on the track record. You have faith in the track record. That's what we need emunah for. Emunah, of course, is based on something. And we need to tap into our track record, our glorious past, or our Mesorah, in order to navigate in the invisible, you know, forward that's in front of us that we can't see. So now, based on this is what my Rebbe taught us. All right, so now if you take, you know, with that in mind, so what does mun mean? Just memnun, without the aleph. What does mun mean? All right, it means it has no track record, and it has no future. Right, the mun came out of nowhere. Right? Like you look for the makor, right? The source where mun comes from. Find the window in heaven that it falls from. You won't be able to find it, right? And it doesn't continue. It disappears. V'chom ha-shemesh v'nomas. So the mun is just in the present. You have it in the moment, in the short while between it fell and until it melts, right? And there's no way you could wrap your head around it and understand where it came from, or whether you'll have it again tomorrow, because even though it was recurrent, but there was no way to explain it scientifically. It wasn't paspasalo, not just, you know, logistically, that you couldn't put it away in the fridge because it would melt as soon as the sun got hot, but also in the way, you know, if you tried to analyze the situation, there's no guarantee, there's no scientific reason why you would have mun tomorrow. It was just in the moment, right? Came out of nowhere, and it didn't last. You had to eat it up before v'chama shemesh v'nomas. Right? And just like that was it logistically, there was also scientifically, people could not understand where it's coming from and how it's going to move forward because they couldn't get into a whole system of cause and effect. And that's what it means, Haman asher lo yadata, even after 40 years. You don't really understand the mon. You don't know where it came from, and you don't know how to hold on to it. It's something that's just in the moment, and since it's just in the moment, you have no guarantee it's coming tomorrow. Because there's no scientific explanation of where it comes from, right? So it's only mun, right? In the moment, and the Torah endorsed that. It's 100% true, right? The mun is in the moment. It's mysteriously no way to trace it back, no way to trace it forward. Right? So that's haman asher lo yadata. So here's an amazing thing, right? Adam Arishan, you know, before the Chet, the Rambam explains in the Mor Nevuchim, was on a very high level, not on a lower level, as people might think superficially. He was running around naked like an animal. The Rambam explains it's just the opposite. He was on a very high level, and on a very high level where your thoughts are on a very high level, you don't look at the body as something dirty, you look at something, you do mitzvahs with it. And the Rambam, you know, is Magdir. He says a definition. Adam Rishon's seichel before the Chet was he measured emes versus sheker. Emes, you know, he looked at the world and he saw reality itself. He didn't have to speculate how reality works. He had the clearest understanding of the way things truly are, and it wasn't an issue of, you know, preferable versus non-preferable. It's all emes versus sheker. What is versus what isn't, right? The Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra reduced his knowledge to Das Tov V'ra. Right? Now, we don't really see objective reality. You know, this way looks better or feels better. This way is less, you know. No one really knows what gravity is. You know, Aristotle explained it one way, then Newton explained it another way, and comes Einstein, explains it now a third way. And we discard this theory in favor of that theory because it's less cautious, right? You know, if you go like Aristotle, you have this and this schwer, right? So Newton answered some of those questions. But Newton is still bleib schwer with the certain things, right? We don't see objective reality. We tov and ra. This theory is more comfortable. It's more comfortable. This way is harder to explain. That's what Adam Arishan went down to after the Chet. Lost touch with objective reality. He just measures upside versus downside, right? That's why we need a Torah so badly to, you know, ner mitzvah v'torah or to illuminate us. We don't see objective reality. We try to estimate with what's more comfortable to, how it's more comfortable to explain, how it's less comfortable. So now, Adam Arishan was confronted by the Ribono Shel Olam, ha min ha'etz. Ha min ha'etz. Did you eat from the tree? Ha min, right? Which is also remez l'haman min ha'torah minayin ha min ha'etz, right? Did you? Min, right? You know, Adam Rishon used, so this is very well explained, based on this Rambam, the Rambam's Magdir, that Adam Rishon's knowledge was one of emes. He saw a pure objective reality, emes. He lost that. He lost the aleph and the tav of seeing the whole picture, right? So he's stuck in min. Ha min ha eitz. And that's the suffix that Amalek thrives on. You know, since, you know, objective reality is not revealed to us, so Amalek could, you know, spin this fake news and that fake news. You know, spin it this way, spin it that way. And that's Hamina 8. Right? So now, what is, you know, ultimately, you know, Bezeas Apecha Tochal Lechem. So the Medrash says that when Adam Rishon first started, you know, you're going to eat Esev, so he broke out into a sweat. Shema Ani V'chamori Nikshorim Le'evus Achas, me and my donkey might be tied to the same feedback. I'm going to eat grass. Kevon She Shema Bezeas Apecha Tochal Lechem Niskar Radaito. Once he heard Bezeas Apecha Tochal Lechem, he calmed down. Lechem is man food. Now, the Maral explains, you know, that you are what you eat. You know, you're what you get your sustenance from should be, you know, somehow commensurate with your madrega in Metzias. Animals just eat what grows wild, right? Right? Man is, Aramish was worried. Am I now the same like my chamor? Chamor says tomorrow like Miloshen Chomer. I'm just a physical creature. I'm meat. I'm just walking meat. So, and if so, I eat out of the same feed bag as my donkey. I eat what grows wild. As I heard, bezeas apecha tocha lechem. Lechem is something that requires technology. Right? It doesn't grow naturally. Right? So you plant and you plan and you make a recipe. You know, the whole technology of all steps from the planting till you finally have bread on the table, there's a thought process involved. It doesn't happen by itself. And that shows that the Adam still is a baal machshava. Right? He's a thinking person. Therefore, there should be thought that goes into his food. So what do we also know? Do we know about bezeas apecha tocha lechem? It represents the need to struggle for parnasa. Right? You know, by the sweat of your brow you eat bread. That refers to the tircha, you know, and the ishtadlus for parnasa, right? And we're okay with that because it makes sense to us. It makes sense to us. You know, you work, you should get paid, right? You put in this effort and you make this type of strategy, there should be a payoff, right? And that's how we're comfortable when we understand what we're doing and how to our foreseeable results, right? But is that really where parnasa comes from? That's how we make sense out of our parnasa. We make sense out of a debt. We do the zeya, and there's return on investment. But like the Mesil Sharm explains, that's not the way it really works. Now, it's true. If you don't work, you won't eat. You know, AOC is not going to save us. It's not. It's true. If you don't work, you don't eat. But it says the Mesil Sharm, it's a knas. Right? It's not really cause and effect. We in our own das tovara that we fell into, we put into a framework of cause and effect. But really, we have to work because that's the gzera. It's a knas, and if you don't pay your taxes, the knas, the hishtadlus knas, the Ribosha doesn't have to give you your parnasa. But that's not really the cause and effect. What's the real cause and effect? The motza pi Hashem, right, is the real cause and effect. Right, of how we have our parnasa, it's nigzar and Rosh Hashanah, it's katsuv, right? But you know, we fit into the framework of bezeas apecha tocha lechem, and at least that's better than being an animal that lives a mindless life, right? So it's an amazing thing, right? The mun, right? It tasted whatever you thought it tasted like. Whatever you thought, that's what it tasted like. They once asked the Chofetz Chaim, right, if a person thought nothing, what did the mun taste like? So that a person who doesn't think has no time in life, right? And it's a dover niflamot. It's a Chofetz Chaim saying something very deep. Because reasoning is my timer, like time, taste and reasoning. The two go together. Your satisfaction that you get from life is, you know, satisfaction is not just here. It's here. Right? The satisfaction that you get to be satisfied is in the mind, you know, even more than it is in the stomach. Right? So now, so Margla Bapume the Rav, right? Rav used to say, from my Medar Sinai, they just took it in like food and drink. That's Mamash Olam Abba. That the Ziv Hashchina was, we're going to be sustained by the Ziv Hashchina, loss of love. And, you know, the Ramban says the mun was made out of condensed Ziv Hashchina. Right? So Mamish, you know, as the Rambam explains also in the Mar Nebuchim, the Achila Vishti of Olam Abba is purely in the mind. We are satiated with the Gilui Elokus. We drink and eat Gilui Elokus, the Ziv Hashchina. The mun also, to the extent that you thought, that's what it tasted like. The experience was more intellectual than it was physical, right? That's why that's the sod. Besod my timer, whatever you thought is what it tasted like. My timer, like it was directly related, which is above the physical experience because it didn't look like what it tasted like, and it was like so the physical experience was incongruent with the mental experience, the spiritual experience, right? Which left the man hungry because, you know, in Das Tovara, the most objective thing we have is our eyes. Seeing is believing in Das Tovara, right? In Das that we fell into, right? The way it looked like and the way, you know, the perception of the mon were not in sync with each other, right? And that was the lesson, you know. Am Yisrael wasn't fully satiated. Now, you're supposed to extrapolate, why am I not full? It tasted like whatever I wanted to taste like, and I'm still not satisfied. Because my mind is on the Bezeas HaPecha Tocha Lechem type mind, the Das Tovara, right? The Alechem Levado, I'm in Bezeas HaPecha Tocha Lechem mentality. And you know that's where I'm holding. I'm holding lo alechem levayich adam. I'm holding by b'zeas apecha toch alechem. The madrega that's noch the head of Adam Arishan, the lower madrega. And this is obviously not satisfying me because of disparity. You know the discrepancy between the lower madrega, the madrega of b'zeas apecha toch alechem, and the and vayechsos alkim vayechol v'yishtu. The higher madrega that we are yet to reach, even higher than Adam Arishan in olam haba. And that's where you're supposed to extrapolate from that. There's a higher reality. We live off motza pi Hashem. That's the sort of the ziv Ashchina. That's the sort of the gzeir of Akash, the mitzvot Shoshan, Ksum, Rosh Hashanah. We are supposed to have this feeling of being unsatisfied and being confused by the month to realize that the way we are of lechem levayicharam is because of b'zeas apecha tocha lechem, and to realize there is a much higher reality, b'sod tam e Torah.